You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are locked.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. Happy Monday to y'all. This is the post-draft edition. I know it's been long, but you know, it was a weekend. But I got my man Devon Givens on here. Yo, Devon, I just want to ask you, I mean, what do you think about the draft? What do you think about the 76ers draft picks?
I thought, well, of course, number one overall. First, Keith, thanks for having me back on. Number one overall was a no-brainer. You had to go for Markelle Fultz. He was the right fit, best player overall in this draft, and the Sixers were able to acquire him via that trade with the Celtics. It was a perfect move. Later on, when they got back into the first round, you know, reports were that you put it out there as well that they wanted to move back into the first round, potentially get a player. They got a Latvian-born player, an AP. We're not going to mess up his name. AP, but he's not going to be here for a few years because of contractual situations with his club in overseas. And the same goes for Jonah Bolden and Matthias Lazort. So, I mean, I guess I understand it because there are so many contracts on their roster and could potentially add Furkan Korkmaz, their pick from last year, their third first-round pick from last year. He may come over with the team this year. So I understand what they did in the second round and even late in the first with AP at 25 because they don't want to have any extra guarantee money and have to give those guys any contracts to put on their books right now with so many guys already with guaranteed deals on this current roster. So all in all, I gave him an A-plus because of what they did by going and executing the trade to get Markelle Fultz. That's what it was all about. So for me, they got an A-plus simply because of the ability to get themselves up and have the opportunity to take Markelle Fultz.
But do you think, and someone pointed out to me today, in an email, a guy was complaining. He was like, yeah, Brian Colangelo did everything he said he was going to do, but he didn't get any shooters in the draft. I mean, is that like, and I know these guys are guys they're going to stash, but is that a concern to you that they didn't go out there and get somebody who can shoot them?
No, not to me because...
Outside of Markelle, I'm talking
about. Yeah, outside of Markelle, but they're talking about shooters, but I think they're talking more knockdown shooters.
Yeah.
Where Markelle can shoot, but he can also get to the rim, he can also dribble, and, you know, so many different things. That three-level score that we talk about with Markelle Fultz. When you talk about shooter, you're talking about Kyle Korver and J.J. Redick and guys like that, Del Curry. Steph Curry, of course, is an all-time great.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, the same thing. So we're talking about all-time guys that can shoot. How many players really coming out of school this year, Keith, were really shooters where we were really dictating who they could have went and gotten? Whether it was Lauri Markkanen from Arizona or Luke Kennard from Duke. They're shooters, and you were not in position to do that. I don't even know if they really had the ammunition to go back up into that top 10, top 15 to even get their hands on them. And even Kennard went number 12, marking it 7. So I'm not concerned about getting the shooters in the offseason via the draft. The shooters that they have to get now are via trade and free agency. That's where I will maybe come at those guys for not executing a deal to get a shooter.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all know about free agency. We know what the Sixers' plan is going to be. Like, you know, they know that they're not ready to contend for a title. So they're not going to go out there and try to spend a lot of money on getting an A-list dude who I don't think is going to come here anyway.
Right.
But they're not going to do that. So what they're going to try to do is go after someone, give them maybe a 2-3 year deal. And the guy who I like, you mentioned, J.J. Redick. Now, I know there are some who say, why go out and get J.J. Redick? I just think that he's a guy who will fit in perfectly with the system. Now, again, it's up to J.J. Redick to decide that, do I really want to be a part of this, knowing that the team is not going to be on the level that the Clippers were on. But at the same time, you're hearing that Brooklyn Nets are going to throw a lot of money at him, too. And I know that he and his wife have a crib in Brooklyn, in New York. But at the same time, I think I would rather be with the Sixers than I would with the Nets.
Yeah, I agree with you that the enticing part is more the young core that the 76ers have, starting with Joel Embiid. So was he going to pick D'Angelo Russell and Timofey Mozgov in Brooklyn over coming here to play with Embiid? I don't think so. Now, maybe it is the money. Maybe it is the location of staying close to home where they have their place in New York. Maybe. But listen, Philadelphia is not too far from the New York area. They can go back up to that New York home as often as they can get to, because we are not too far here in Philadelphia from New York. So J.J. Redick would not be a problem for me at all. He does fit a need that they have with the outside shooting that both Brett Brown and Brian Colangelo have talked about plenty of times. And if they can get him at a decent number, the right amount of years, he would be the perfect, as you said, laid it out, the perfect fit for the Sixers with this young core group.
Mm-hmm. And but you also, like, now not to change the subject a little bit, but we are going to change the subject.
Change it up.
But, you know, you think that this team can contend for the eighth seed next year?
I do. I think they can contend for the eighth seed, not just because of their talent that they have, but because of the ripple effect that could happen in the Eastern Conference on the back end, when we're talking about maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 on down, 9, 10, where some of these teams may take a step back, where Toronto may lose Kyle Lowry, Atlanta, who is the fifth seed, may lose Paul Millsap, Indiana could lose Paul George. We've already seen the Chicago Bulls, who had that eighth spot tied for the eighth seed, 41-41, with the Miami Heat, who slipped out and, you know, luckily didn't get a chance to get in there for that ninth spot at 41-41. I mean, listen, they have a chance. They've made an 18-game increase in their win total last year, Keith, from 10 to 28. Embiid only played 31 games. Ben Simmons played zero. Jared Bayless, their three-year contract free agent pickup, played 5 games. And if these guys are obviously important to what they do, for what Brett Brown needs to do, they have 28 wins. They gained confidence and all of this stuff they've been on the floor. I don't see where it's out of the question to think from that 28 that they can pick up 10 more, maybe even 3 more from that, and be in position to get in that 8th seed, depending on, again, the ripple effect of what goes on with the rest of the Eastern Conference on the back end of that playoff run.
Me, I'm a little bit different. Like, again, I get what you're saying. They won 28 games. They won 18 more than the year before. But the year before, they only won 10 games. You know what I mean? So it's like, if it was like, let's say they won 30, they won 48.
Yeah.
After that, I give them more credit. But, you know, I just have to, I'm more like of the wait and see. Like, I'm not trying to be a pessimist. I'm just trying to be a realist, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like, you know, we have to see who that free agent is going to be. We also have to see the health of Embiid. Everyone's saying that he's on pace to play. Brian Colangelo went on Mike and Mike, and the guy asked him, they said, hey, is he going to play without minutes restriction? He said, yeah.
He said yes.
But then he came back later on and said it had something to do with the doctors. And then Brett Brown comes back and says, he was trying to, like, he said that's going to be aggressive, or that's going to be, you know, whatever. So to me, it's one of those things is, until they're all out there, then we still out there playing in these back-to-back games, we won't know if they're going to have a minute restriction. We're not going to know anything. And let's face it, the fact that they're not going after, or they're saying they're not going to go after top-notch free agents, who knows? They may luck up and get one. But that's telling me that they're still on a gradual progression to getting to where they want to be at. So if you're going to be in a gradual progression, they're probably going to have minute restrictions at certain stages, or they're going to rest them this night, rest them that night, because they want him to be a great player 2 years from now, as opposed to going out there killing himself and then, you know, maybe having a setback.
Yeah, well, I wonder when things start to happen. And for me too, Keith, it's one of those deals where so many people say they have to, so many people say they should. We've heard 50 wins, we've heard 45 wins. Listen, I'm only going 38 to 41 wins, you know, something like that. And how does it happen? You know, if they miss the postseason, how does it happen? How did they get to 39? Did they have a 3-game week where they went 0-3, but they were already in position to get that spot and they lost it because they choked it up at the end of the year in those 3 games? I just want to see how it happens. And how does it happen? Where you just laid it out. They want to give a gradual thing, let Embiid ease in and those restrictions and all. What if they are in that hunt for that playoff spot and they do have a restriction on Embiid, but they say, you know what? It's there for us. Let's go for it. Let's let him play 35 minutes. But we'll split it up. We'll have those 10-minute increments. We'll have those 7-minute increments, and we'll monitor it again. But what if Ben Simmons doesn't have those restrictions, and he's able to go out and just simply ball the way he can? And what if they do add a free agent? It doesn't have to be a big-name guy, but the ultimate goal is to add someone who can shoot, who can blend in with the young core, who is a veteran and can help them on the floor. And that goes a long way. And we saw how even Embiid, only in the 31 games, going a long way, the increase of confidence that was instilled in T.J. McConnell, Robert Covington, all of these players who we didn't really expect to have the kind of years that they did. When you play with great players, and Embiid, with all intents and purposes, if he's able to be on the floor, will be a great player in this league and hopefully for a long time, that helps push your team to another level. And that increases your confidence, that inner confidence in yourself, knowing that you can get something done because that player is on the floor. So maybe I'm being a little bit more optimistic than I should be, and maybe I'm putting some undue pressure on the team that I shouldn't. But I just look at it and say, yes, you're right. They were 10 wins team a year ago. But the increase in 18, Keith, I thought they would only increase in 17 with Embiid and Simmons on the floor for a full year. They did it without those guys. And you have to give them credit for that. And I can only assume that they take that next step and at least be in a conversation for that AC.
We will see, my
we
man.
Will see.
We will see. We will see. We will see.
I can't convince him, people.
I mean, I'm not trying. I just want to wait until.
Sure.
You know, like October the 26th, like I told you, you know, on your show. I just want to wait to October the 26th. But, hey, bro, it's been a long time since you and I sat down and did one of these podcasts. And I want to let y'all know, if you haven't done it already, something's wrong with you, but you got to listen to my man on 97.5. You know, great discussion. I mean, oh, man, it's like, you know, I don't even tell you how much, like, I listen to you when I'm in the car. But I want you to let people know where they can listen, what days they can listen to you on 97.5. And I'm telling you, if y'all don't do it, you messed up.
Well, thank you, man. I really appreciate that. You can catch me on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia. On the app, of course, if you have the app. If you're not in the area, you can catch me at 97.5 The Fanatic on the app. 97.5thefanatic.com is our website. And I'm on Tuesday nights from 7 to 11. Also Thursday nights from 7 to 11. You can catch me on the weekends, Saturday or Sunday from 2 to 6 on 97.5.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.